Hello, everybody. My name is Rabbi Binyamin Rachmanov, here to the Hovadia podcast, helping the world and everybody navigate through our Torah. Basically, the next couple of halachot are probably quicker than the other episodes we did. And they're not because of its halachot are very interesting. Some are more complex, obviously. Some are not more complex. And it's so important that we learn and learn how, and people have to learn. That's part of being, Yehudi, Jewish, Ben Torah, Yeshiva, or a regular person. Doesn't matter. We're not supposed to be, criticizing a person, how they look and how they are. The main person should always be his heart and his, his truth should always be what speaks to everybody. And for sure, the truth is a person has to, and every individual has to understand the awesomeness of understanding the interlinkings of the facets of our Torah, through Midrash, through Halakha, through Mishnah, through Gemara. They're all interlinked in their own way, and they have to be woven in a way that we all can really understand. And that makes really the difference between a real posek and a non-real posek. And also the difference between a person who's truly a Baal Halakha or not a Baal Halakha. So the first couple of questions we're going to ask and present are, again, further halachic decisions made by Rabbi Virgil and where we're coming out in this scenario in Pesach specifically. So the first halakha is many's for some reason have a minhag. And I've been saying this for so many years in my shul specifically, that they say the bracha, bochata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidishanu Metzod Vitzvanu Al Achilat Matzah. And they're saying this bracha throughout all the 7 days of Pesach, or 8 days of Pesach in outside of Israel. So we're saying all these days of Pesach, these brachot, some have a minhag to do so. So I've been saying for many years that you should not be doing it. I'm so happy that Rabbi Virgil actually wrote this in a Psak Halakha, because he is one of the Gedolei Yisrael, where everyone should know. Baruch Hashem, he was supposed to be the chief rabbi the second time running, and he backed out because of Rav Avad Yosef's last request in his life was for his son to be the chief rabbi. And that just great shows how great of a man Rabbi Abrajil definitely is compared to many's out there. So he asks a specific halakha, and someone asked him this, Rav Moshe Didon asked him this question, what is the proper situation? Can a person continue this minhag of saying the bracha al achilat matzah every single time he eats a meal throughout the days of Pesach, including Chol HaMoed and including Shabbat, Pesach morning, so on and so forth? So the premise of this halakha comes because the Gaon Mevilna really said, or the premise of this minhag comes from the Gaon Mevilna, who said that every 7 days and throughout all 7 days, it's a mitzvah to eat matzah. The reality is most of the poskim don't state what the Gaon Mevilna says. And what the Gaon Mevilna says is not necessarily it's a mitzvah medoraita. It's just it's a mitzvah. If you eat it, it's a mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah of an obligation. So you have mitzvot that are obligatory to do every single day. And there's mitzvot that you don't have obligation. For example, we don't have korbanot today, so we're not going to do the korbanot. Or if you're not in a situation, for example, shiluach haken, where you have to send the bird out, you don't have to follow and run. You should run to do the mitzvah, but it's not something that you're obligated to do. It's just it's a mitzvah that's enacted within the Torah, but you don't fulfill it, right? You can look for the fulfillment. So the same thing with this specific thing with the Gaon Mevilna. Matzah is not something that I have to do every single night or every single day in Pesach, excluding the first night, obviously, and the second night. And outside of Israel. But the achilat matzah and the blessing for that bracha is only exclusive to the first 2 nights of Pesach. So, but when the Gaon Mevilna says that every single other day is a mitzvah, It's not necessarily a mitzvah of obligation. That's the difference. But it's still a mitzvah. You still fulfill a mitzvah. As it's known, every single word in the Torah is a mitzvah, and you fulfill every single word, you're fulfilling many mitzvot. But it's not part of the 613 caliber. And specific here, many of the poskim explain that Ibn Ezra is one of them, and others that the eating of matzah is ultimately a minhag. It's a custom to do throughout the days. It's not an obligation to do throughout the days. And that is that specific halakha that we definitely, I definitely want to bring out that for sure, in conclusion, a person should not be saying the bracha of Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvot Vitzvanu Al Achilat Matzah, except for the first two nights. So outside of Israel, we're here in New York, Wednesday night, Thursday night, we're saying the Bracha Al Achilat Matzah within the Haggadah Seder. So if it's in the Haggadah, that's where you say it. So if you're reading the Haggadah, to make it simple, you say those blessings. Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvot Vitzvanu Al Achilat Matzah. Al Achilat Matzah. But when it comes to any other day throughout Passover, you basically just say Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. That's the rule. It's very simple, not complex. The other halakha is from Rabbi Barjil that was asked by Rabbi Barjil is in regards to Gomel. Baruch Hashem, many individuals are having babies, and it's good. Chen Yirbu. Our community should thrive and grow without no doubt. And they questioned when, if there's a possibility that a person can gather 10 for Gomel, can they do the 10 for Gomel? And the reality is sometimes it's very hard in our specific situation today, it's very hard to even get the 10 people to say Gomel. So what do you do? And he says, when a woman gives birth, she is obviously obligated to say Gomel. Yoledet harehi, and I'm going to read this conclusion of what he says. Yoledet harehi kechole shemesakenet atzma bleda. A woman who gives birth is as if she's a person who is sick, who puts herself through danger in her childbirth. And she's included amongst those who are sick, who need to say gomel when they recover. Hagomel yedafka basara. That's for point one. Point two, Hagomel yedafka basara. The gomel should be specific to 10. Ve'shagam belayla, and it could also be done in the evening. Levarech hagomel. That means a person can do gomel at night if you can collect 10 people. Ublo asara, and if you don't do 10, chashash lebracha levatala. It's a huge question of bracha levatala, which is obviously without 10, don't say gomel because it's a huge issue. Are you saying a bracha? A real bracha? Are you saying a bracha levatala, which is a blessing in vain? Are you saying the blessing in vain? Are you saying the blessing for no reason? And that is the point. You need a 10 to say this bracha of gomel. So point three, the Rabbi Barjil writes, adif levarech ad chamisha yamim. It's better if you have the 5-day window to say this bracha of gomel. Ve'im lo efshar, if he cannot find or she cannot find, the 10, nitan levarech kol zman v'chena minhag. You can bless any time, and that's the minhag. So bezat Hashem, this coronavirus should disappear, and bezat Hashem, with this disappearing situation, we should definitely come to a point where we should, all the women who give birth should come to the Beit HaKnesset, say the Gomel, and also all those, just to add a point, which is clear, all those who survived the virus, who are sick, have to definitely also say Gomel when they come to Beit HaKnesset. That is just an obligation. So those who are the recovered individuals from this virus, from this niguf, this magifa, this pandemic, for sure has to say gomel when they come to Beit HaKnesset. Bezat Hashem, it should come very soon where we can go back to our daily activity of tefillot, b'minyan, and so on and so forth. That is a very important key aspect in our Jewish fabric, the fabric of our Jewish lives. The next question was that was presented is, unfortunately today, even in Israel, And again, I believe this was also presented to Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef and Rabbi David Lau, and they presented their, their response to it. But I'm going to read to you what Rabbi Bargil said. And I kind of like Rabbi Bargil's psak better, in the sense that Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef and Rabbi Lau, they wrote down selling to a goy. I don't know how many people are going to find a goy to do this. It's very difficult. I think this is the best solution that we have now to do it. And Rabbi Bargil was asked about the mikvaot. So when a person buys new vessels, he is supposed to be able to go to the mikvah of kelim. Basically, he has to be able to go to the... So what he does is he would take the vessels that he just bought. Let's say he bought new china or bought new glass plates or whatever pots. And he buys the pots and now he needs to take it to mikvah, especially now Passover. Many people's probably going to buy or get or, new utensils for Passover. So what ends up happening is you have an obligation to take those pots and pans and bring it to a mikvah, a pool of water, ritual pool of water, for the utensils. And you say the blessing for the mikvah for utensils. Now, what happened now because of the pandemic is many individuals cannot take their utensils to the mikvah. So what do you do? It's a difficult situation. So Rabbi Bargil gave an answer, and I like his answer. His answer halachically is sound. The other rabbis for sure agree with this halakha. No one would disagree with this halakha. And the reality is that this specific halakha just happens to be an easier situation. It makes more sense to do it this way, if you can. And this is what he basically says. In this situation, we allow to rely on Maharil Diskin. In his response, that you can give the vessels, the utensils as a gift to a child. Any child who understands the concept of receiving and ownership, obviously, which could be 4, 5, 6, depending on the child's, behavior and his understanding. And then you ask for him, after you give it to him as a present, you basically ask him, can I borrow it? And he lends it to you. And therefore, you're patur from the tefillah. You're exempt for the tefillah. Why? You're exempt from this immersion of the ritual water because a child is exempt from the actual mitzvah of tefillah. And this is the same halacha. This is the same halacha as if you would borrow vessels from a non-Jew, because a non-Jew is not obligated. So too, just like a non-Jew, a goy is not obligated, so too a child is not obligated in our mitzvot. So if you give the vessels as a gift to the child, and then you just basically ask him, can I borrow it? And he gives it to you. Obviously, what is the kid going to do? He's going to give it to you. So the reality is, then you become patur. You're not obligated to take those vessels into a mikvah in that situation. And then you're able to, and you're patur from tefillah. Now, if a person wants after this situation to take the vessel back to mikvah tefillah, you can definitely do so. Lechumrah, I'm sure it's a chumrah in my perspective. And he should, if he can do that, that's not a problem, but don't say the bracha. Or if you want to say the bracha, get a utensil, buy a new utensil, say the bracha on the new utensil and have kavanah for the other utensils that was given to the child and borrowed from him after. So that's the reality of how to do it. So that's a good, psak halacha. I hope that helps everybody in their situation at hand and so on and so forth. The other halakha is Bezat Hashem. Obviously, the world is going to be changing after this pandemic. More people are going to be more, cautious, wearing masks probably. Bezat Hashem, the Bet HaKnesiot and the Bet HaMidrashot will be reopened. And what's going to happen is in Birchat Kohanim, what do you do? A person who is a Kohen is going to wear a mask. Can he wear a mask and say Birchat Kohanim? That's a very, strong question. Rabbi Bargil was asked this question by Rabbi Elchanan Prince, which he's been asking Rabbi a lot of questions. I have a lot of tshuvot from him, which is very, very good. So far, the tshuva, this tshuva, this responsa was asked by, the previous responsa was also asked by him and several others. B'zad Hashem, when we put it on, when we put this text in actual written form in our podcast website, hovadya.org, in our Beddin website, newyorkbeddin.org, NYBETDIN.org, you'll be able to see the halachic bulletins and our, and what we've been, you know, presenting to you via this audio podcast. So his other question was, when a Kohen is wearing a mask, basically if he's wearing an N95 mask or any other surgical mask, when he comes to Bet HaKnesset and he comes to the position of Nisiat Kapayim, where he has to do Berchat Kohanim, what would be the situation in that situation? Can he say it? Can he do Berchat Kohanim with a mask on? So it's a one-pager response, very to the point. And that's the beauty about Rabbi Bajili, right? It's very to the point. He basically says that there is no issue. You can definitely wear a mask. You can definitely wear a mask while saying Berchat Kohanim. And the underlining halacha is because when you're saying Berchat Kohanim anyway, you have your talit covered over you. So you already have a covering over your face. So what's the difference if it's a mask which is there to protect you and him, if whatever it is that he wants to protect himself with? And of course, the CDC also mentioned whether it's questionable, especially the head of the task force, the lieutenant of the task force really questioned whether the masks really help or not. But they put it as a recommendation that from now on, potentially, people should be walking with masks. I think that's a very interesting onset in halakha. But definitely, we should definitely think about, you know, in the time that we are now, these halachot are here to help us navigate through situations like this pandemic. And historically, pandemics and magefot always have been one of the biggest ones were in the time of the Ariya Kadosh or Yosef Karo. They also had a epidemic and potentially a pandemic we had in the time of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yosef Jikatilia, and the Rashba. They also had a pandemic back then, which is the bubonic plague. And unfortunately, the bubonic plague, historically, you know, the three phases that it had occurred, killed maybe 25 million individuals back then. For sure, we're not in the situation, Baruch Hashem, in that level. And of course, it's Shat Zara that many of the peoples that we know passed away. And I really want to dedicate the current halachot that I mentioned for those individuals. This last halacha is something very interesting halacha. And just to clarify for those individuals who passed away. Now, this last halacha, so that this all the shurim that we gave till now should be in their memory. And this last halakha is very, you know, very important halakha. This is something that I found many, many, many years back. And this is something that I did not really write about. I just took a lot of notes on this. And I figured maybe it'll help individuals today kind of feel better praying at home. As you know, the Ben Ish Chai, and if you open the Sidur Od Yosef Chai, it's an obligation a person should say 90 amens, right, in his daily activity. So you have to say 90 amens and you have to say 100 brachot a day. Unfortunately, you know, you're losing count in minyan close to, because the calculation the Kaf HaChaim brings and all the commentators bring is that you have to be able to count 19 brachot in Shemona Esrei. So you're already losing 19 in the chazara, in the repetition of Shemona Esrei. So you're already losing 19 in repetition on Shacharit and 19 in repetition in Mincha. So you already have a loss of 38 brachot total every day. So how do you fulfill 38 brachot total? I don't know. It's very, very difficult. it's a very difficult situation. It's not just that a person is breaking minyan. You're breaking the ability of saying 38 brachot a day. I mean, you lose 38 brachot. Where are you going to fill those 38 brachot? And we knew saying, and we know saying the 100 brachot a day is crucial to because it was, is instituted by David HaMelech, that in his time, there were 100 people dying in his time. Were 100 people dying a day, passing away a day due to a magefa, due to a epidemic there in Israel. It was a magefa min ha-shamayim. Until he didn't institute 100 blessings a day, this magefa didn't go through. So I really don't know the context of what do we do now. I mean, you need to have 100 brachot a day. I don't know, it's very difficult. Nevertheless, the Ben Ishchai did write, if you do mention the words Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen Ve'Amen 45 times, it's equal to 90 amens. So there is a substitute to that. And then you have another situation where you could say Vayivarech David, and this is all in the Odius of Chai Sidur, that a person can say Vayivarech David several times and it's equal to a bracha. So therefore, you know, when it comes to these two potential points, you're able to fulfill the amends and the brachot somehow. I mean, you're already cutting the you know, the ability of getting closer to the number of 100. I honestly don't know how a person is going to fill 38 brachot. I've been trying to figure out how to get that done. That's very difficult. You know, the context of not having a minion really hamper, you know, really derails the 100 brachot a day ability. But, definitely we should definitely figure out how a person can get the 100 brachot. One other idea I said, you know, if a person's davening at home, okay, listen, wear tefillin in the morning, say the bracha. And when you're davening mincha, wear tefillin again, wear the Rashi tefillin. Say another bracha. You don't lose nothing. What do you lose by wearing tefillin and mincha? You can wear tefillin and mincha. But you're adding another bracha. Maybe also wear talit also. You add another two brachot. Obviously, you're going to wear talit and tefillin. You add already two brachot over there. So that's a good position already. You know, a person is already getting there. Another way of saying adding a few more brachot is where a person, according to the Gra and the Rambam, before prayer, before you daven shacharit, you're already saying anitra yadayim. But before you daven mincha, if you wash your hands, you could say the bracha anitra yadayim before washing hands for tefillah. Specifically, again, for tefillah. Again, to reiterate, for tefillah. I'm sorry, I'm saying that again several times just for a person to understand. And that's not even a question. It's there in the halachot. It's there in the gra. It's there. And it's not even a question of bracha levatala in many aspects. So that's another idea. So in what I'm presenting here is an idea, or not an idea, a halacha that was presented in Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon's Siddur, where Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon says if a person is by himself and he is not in a context of a minyan, can he say Kaddish on his own, meaning a substitute to the Kaddish? Can you say a Kaddish that becomes a substitute to a regular Kaddish that you could say on your own? And can you say a Baruch Hu on your own? And can you say a Kiddusha on your own, basically not in a context of a minyan? So he says you could say it. According to the Gaonim, you say a Kaddish, a Kedusha, a Baruch Hu in the context of not the current Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu that we have now, but in the context of Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and Kedusha, in the context where there's a substitution of what you're reading. So he creates for you and he presents to you a substitute verse, a substitute excerpt of prayer, that if you read this excerpt of prayer, it is considered a substitution to Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu. Similarly to this, the Ben Ishchai does have, and it's already in the Odes of Chai Sidurim, he already has a short version compared to Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon's long version. He has a short version where he says, if you say Amar Rabbi Akiva, it's a certain braita about Baruch Hu and Baruch Hashem and Baruch Le'olam Ba'ed, that you could say this before Aleinu Shabeach, and you're fulfilling the Baruch Hu aspect. So, I mean, compared to the Rabbeinu Sadio's version, it's very long, right? So I wouldn't use Rabbeinu Sadio's Gaon version. It's pretty long. And if the Ben Ish-Chai already gave us a gilui, an understanding, a contemporary understanding to do it in a shorter version. So definitely you can use a shorter version before Aleinu Shebe'ach, you say Amar Rabbi Akiva. Why not? It's very important. And then you also have the context of Vayavor. Vayavor is also people are sitting at home, not now. Right now, it's you're not obligated to say Yugim Omidot, but after Pesach, right after the month of Nisan, and also before the month of Nisan, we had a situation where we were at home, and we don't know again. Hopefully, soon we'll be able to go back to the Minyanim, but we don't know when we're going to go back to the Minyanim. You still have to say Ve'yavor Yugim Omidot. How are you going to say Yugim Omidot by yourself? So many people say you could say the 13 principles of Midot. You say 13 principles. In a fashion of, in a situation of what? Of Kriya, of the Torah reading. So if you know the signs of Torah reading, then you could say it, but many don't know the signs. So how do you do it? So according to the Ari HaKadosh and the Radbaz, Rav David Ben Zimra, you can say the Yud Gimel Midot in the Aramaic, and the Ben Ish Chai presents it, and it's actually in the Siddur of the Od Yosef Chai. You could say the Aramaic version, the Aramaic verses of Ve'yavor, of the Yugim Omidot in Aramaic, and you fulfill the mandate of Yugim Omidot. And then you also have where you could say an Adbash. I mean, I never really saw an Adbash how to do it, but I can present the Adbash if, for the public, where the Ari HaKadosh says clearly, you could say the whole Yugim Omidot in a flip letters of called Adbash. Okay. We're not going to explain Adbash in this lecture. That will be in a different lecture. But Adbash is basically a way to interchange letters of the alphabet in a formula called Adbash. And if you do that formula of interchanging letters, now you can read the whole Yugim Omidot with that interchange. And the Ari HaKadosh basically says it clear to do it that way. But Rabbeinu Amram Gon goes in the pretext based on Rabbeinu Tzemach Gon, where Rabbeinu Tzemach Gon says as follows. And this is... He says, "Sheyachid shen lo minyan yachol lashlim." A person who has no minyan, yashayachid she'en lo minyan. Again, an individual that is not in the minyan, he has no minyan. Yachol lashlim, he can fulfill and complete davar shebekdusha, verbs of kedusha, words of holiness, words of kedusha, which in any other time you would have to have a minyan. Right, kol davar shebekdusha chayav liot ba'asara, like it says in Maseches Brachot, anything that has a minyan has to be in the context, in the position, in place of 10 people. Alidei ma'amar in place of the kol davar shebekdusha alidei ma'amrei chazal uposkim upsukim. That means if I don't have a minyan and I cannot say the davar shebekdusha, I can substitute the verbiage of what I can say. For example, what's the verbiage? I substitute nagdishach, which is what I'm supposed to be doing for the kedusha in a minyan. I can substitute the nagdishach into a different verbiage found in a place in the Talmud. So he says, so again, no minyan, sheyachid shen lo minyan, an individual who has no minyan, Yechol lashlim, he can complete davar shebekdusha, he can complete verbs and words of kedusha, alidei ma'amrei chazal upsukim, based on the verb, the statements and the excerpts found in the words of our Talmudic sages, our Tanaic sages, and their verbs, kigon shlosha kitot, like it says in Shlosha Kitot Shemachay Hashem Amim Shir B'chol Yom, like we see in Masechet Chulin where you have an excerpt over there that you can use as a substitute for Kaddish and Kedusha. So that's what he presents, Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, and many of the Gaonim have this debate whether you can create the substitution, and there is an ability to create this substitution. So B'zat Hashem, I'll have it all done. This is my Psak Halacha. I'll have it all done and present it to you based on Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon. This is not a made-up statement. And the Ari HaKadosh says every single minhag of the Gaonim is founded by things beyond our understanding. It's things of very, it's based on fundamentals of our Torah. So, Bezat Hashem, I'll have the excerpts available for every individual to have and to see, and they can maybe, Bezat Hashem, utilize the substitution of Kiddushah. I'll have it in a responsa. I'll present it to the public, Bezat Hashem, by tonight, by tomorrow, and you'll have it for, you know, Bezat Hashem, for use in the community. So you don't feel left out that you're not doing Davar Shebikdusha and Davar Shelo Bikdusha, meaning that you're not feeling left out. Okay, I lost my minion, but I can't supplement the Kaddish and Kedusha when there is a way to supplement it based on our Devar Chazal. And it's understood why they had this, and the Halakha is always meant to help us throughout all generations. And be'emet, there's many halachot out there that can help us, many snifim, many, you know, places where they give us advice what to do in situations. And Bezat Hashem, I wish everybody be'emet for this final podcast for the Passover holiday. I wish everybody a lot of success. I hope you enjoyed our halachic overview. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me at info@hovadia.org. info@hovadia.org. We're very, very, you're more than welcome to come in and really, you know, give us feedback and what you think. And Bezat Hashem, if there's any clarity that needs to be done, we'll be able to present it to the community as well. I hope everybody enjoy this. I hope everybody is safe. I pray that everybody is safe. Be well. Batzlacha and much success. Shalom.
Just a little.